Rabbi Yehuda Steinberg, Parshas Vayigash. Parshas Vayigash.
Mike?
Good morning. I don't think it's really necessary.
Alright, good.
Is that
ready?
Yeah, if you put the mic back. Good morning. I'd like to say a few ideas on the parsha to help us understand better how we're supposed to behave, how we're supposed to, especially on a day like today. Bemis, there's a famous line from the B'ditcheva Rebbe, that's what they say, that one Rosh Hashanah, he was looking underneath the benches in his shul, and they said to him, "What are you doing?" And he said, "I'm looking for the drunkards, all the shikers." Shikoyim. Yom Kippur. So they said, "What do you mean?" He said, "This is how the Goyim celebrate their New Year's. I want to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu how we celebrate ours." The Nitzik Avir brings down that Meir Mepishlan used to have an extra lechaim on the New Year. So because he used to say, it's a chashivus to the fact that we remind ourselves that people come to a shir on a cold day like today, when there's a lot of different distractions. There's no shaila that it's a huge kiddush Hashem. There's one thing that disturbs me a little bit, that when I remember when I first came to Manchester after being in Eretzol for a long time, in Eretzol, the whole musig of Chagga is something which people are not aware of at all. Not that you can forget that it happened, especially if you live in a place like Kiryat Sefer. And you come to Manchester and you've got no choice, you're aware of it. Hey, you go to, you can't go past the shop without noticing. But the question is, there's awareness and there's the idea of actually connecting to it. Now, I was looking into that. People tell me they make chagga parties this year much less because of the virus. But even companies where they have like 10 Yidden, 3 Goyim, they'll still make a chagga party. Now, obviously, a person wants to show his workers that he values them. But we have to remember that we're in Golus. And it's fascinating how many places in this week's parsha this idea comes up again and again. And I'd like to say the devotee on that line for a few moments. How we see in this week's parsha that a person has to constantly remember that we're in Golus. A person, there's a chiyuv, there's an obligation on every person to remind himself all the time, this is not where I'm supposed to be. I'm in Golus, this is not my country. Moshe Feinstein in Darash Moshe brings the same question, which Rashi already asks the question. Rashi asks it. That when the Torah talks about the Yidden coming down to Mitzrayim, it says, "Ve'ele Shmois b'nei Yisrael ha'boim Mitzrayim," who are coming down to Mitzrayim. In Diktuk, that's called present tense. Hoiva. And Rashi asks the question, what are you talking about, Hoiva? Coming down to Mitzrayim? When did they come down to Mitzrayim? Thousands of years ago. It should have said, that came to Mitzrayim. So Rashi's got his answer. But Moshe and Darash Moshe says, the Torah over here is teaching us a fundamental idea that a person must always see himself as coming into Mitzrayim. You shouldn't think I've been living here for hundreds of years. We are constantly, a person has to constantly remind himself that this is the moment I'm coming into Golus. Imagine the first moment we left Eretz Yisrael and went into Golus. How uncomfortable we were. How we felt like strangers. We felt like total strangers. It's not our home country. It's not our place. We felt completely out of place. The Torah specifically uses the present tense to remind us that we have to remember the whole time we're in Golus. And that this is not our hometown. I saw in the Imre Dvash, Bilsu Motcha Gifta, a very interesting idea. That there's a few, again, a similar point. Yosef tells his brothers, go down to Yaakov Avinu and tell him, Ma'u Valu Elavi, quickly tell him that what? That he should come down, that Eham Yosef, and they should come down to Mitzrayim. The words of the Pasuk are, Redo Eli, come down to me, Al Tamoy, don't hesitate, don't wait. So the Baal HaTurim says, and very interesting, Baal HaTurim many times does this, he tells us how many places in Tanakh we have the same word. So the word Redor is also used by Nebuchadnezzar when he went down to Gehenna, Apostle Yecheskel. Redor v'ashkivu esareilim. So the Baal HaTurim says that this is to remind us, Sheshokul ha-golus keneged Gehenna. That golus is equal to Gehenna. That's what Baal HaTurim says. This reason the Torah uses the same word twice is to remind us that golus is like Gehenna. That's the Baal HaTurim. Motchrift adds like this. Why over here, of all places, do we need to remember that golus is like Gehenna? Yosef HaTzadik was telling Yaakov Avinu, you come down to Mitzrayim. Yaakov might have thought he was trying to encourage him, because after all, Yosef was the king of Mitzrayim, and he was living in the palace. So therefore, Yosef was saying to him, come down to Mitzrayim, it's a good place to live. So Yosef said, no. I know, Yaakov, that Mitzrayim is as painful and as unpleasant as Gehenna itself. But over here, due to the circumstances, you must come down. And Yosef was showing this tremendous tzitzkus, that here he was, in actual pinnacle of success. He was a deputy to the king in Mitzrayim. So you might have thought for him, Golos was quite comfortable. No, even so, Vedo Eli, he used the same word which describes going down to Gehenna as coming down to Golos. To tell Yaakov Avinu that I'm aware how terrible Golus is. This is a constant chiyuv that a person has to remember, that Golus is not the place we're supposed to be. We mustn't be too comfortable with the going. I saw both the Chiddush Yehorim on this week's Parashim, Shoshan Pinkas on this week's Parashim, go on another similar kind of idea, a very fundamental point, that when Yosef was the deputy of the king of power, finally he tells power, my brothers, my family has come. What would you expect Yosef to do? That Yosef should come to Pi and say to him, like the truth was, my brothers are the wisest of all men, the most skillful of all people, the best. What does Yosef do? He does everything possible to put them down in Pi's eyes. Straight away he says to him that he only takes in front of Pi, Mitzas Echov, says Rashi, which brothers does he take? The five weakest. And he tells them that they are Royat Soin. The one profession that the Mitzvim despised, that is the profession that he says that they are only skillful. The power says to him, and if there's anybody particularly good at their job, put them over mine. And Yosef says, no, there's nobody particularly good at his job. They've got the worst profession, they're not good at their job, they're weak. Why does he do that? Because a person, when it comes to Golus, may make the mistake of thinking that you have to show off in front of the goyim. The goyim should think the world of you. And unfortunately, this creeps into our minds. We sometimes try and show the goyim how close we are to them and behave in a way. That's not our job. We have to be very respectful. At the end of the day, we're in Golos. We have to listen to their laws. But it's not our job. The pride of a Yid always came from the fact that he was somebody who served Hashem. Not from the fact that the goyim were most impressed with this Goisha skills. And this is very interesting how both Mufoshim, as I said, both go with this mahalach of thinking about the fact that when Yosef finally speaks to Paroi, he doesn't show off his brothers. In fact, the Ramban writes that the first thing that Yosef tells Yaakov is, come down to Goshen. Come down to Goshen. He hasn't even told him anything. That's the first pasuk. Come down to Goshen. B'yoshavta beretz Goshen. Says the Ramban, that Yosef knew that Yaakov did not want to join in the Egyptian ways. So he straight away tells him, don't worry, when you come down to Mitzrayim, I'll find you a different place to live. Not amongst the Mitzrayim. Goshen was a separate land. Again, we have to remember that there's a chiyuv to remember that we're in Golos and that we have no connection bichlal to the Goshen ways. And we mustn't be influenced whatsoever by their celebrations. I have to understand, it's not our job to show off that we've got a connection to them. On the contrary, we have to see our boy Mitzrayim, or we're just coming into Mitzrayim. Truth is, I think the person has to have a tremendous akolos hatov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then years gone by, and anybody who reads any history, it was a terrible, frightening day. It was a day where usually pogroms would go. They'd go to their tumah and come out and decide that the Yidden needed to be scapegoated. Now, Baruch Hashem, it doesn't happen. It's a huge akolos hatov. The akolos hatov lies within it another message. When the goyim would come out and start throwing rocks and pogroms, it was obviously easy to feel no connection to them. Because at the end of the day, it was two different worlds. We felt hated. Today, Akshuachu has Rachmanis on us, and what happens is very few of them even go to their tumas, and those that do don't really have any. It's gone away from its religion. But then the fact is, Baruch Hashem, on a knife or an egg or something, but there's no real danger on a day like today. And that's, we have to have a tremendous akhor satov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is the way it's been. But we mustn't use the takhor satov, the kindness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to think, well, if they're enjoying it, let us join in their celebrations. We have to understand we have nothing to do with them whatsoever. It's a different, it's an important message that we see in this Midrash in a few different ways. Another more important aspect of today, far more greater, is there's Asor B'Tevis. Asor B'Tevis, it's harder to speak when you haven't had a drink in the morning. I'm sure it must be much harder to hear a drosha as well. Imagine how much tzcha. So you get a lot more reward. Anyway, Meir Pam Shlebitzah. Asor B'Tevis, we have to know that Asor B'Tevis is a particularly chomer fast. It's the only fast we have on a Friday, Halacha L'maisa. And the Beis Yosef brings from Avodram that if it would come on Shabbos, we would fast Asor B'Tevis on Shabbos. Like he says, like Yom Kippur. And I saw in some before, and it brings a few Svarim, that there are those who hold based on this Avodram that we have to keep all the chumas of Yom Kippur, not to wash, not to wear shoes. The Maisa, we don't keep Halacha L'maisa. I'm just mentioning it as a siman. That Asor B'Tevis, we see in many different ways, is one of the most chomer diketanesim there are. And the question is why? Why is it such a chomer tanis? And the answer is because it was the beginning of the tzoras. It was when the ball started rolling. The beginning of a tzor, the beginning of any incident, that is when the future takes place. It's the preparation to the galus. In fact, even on Tisha B'Av, most of the burning of the Beis HaMikdash actually happened on the 10th of Av, not the 9th. But we always mourn the 9th because that's when it started. And we have this in this parasha as well. This Yehuda Shalach Lefon of Grishno. The Yaakov Vinu, before he reaches Mitzrayim, sends Yehuda on ahead to make sure there's a Beis HaMikdash there before he gets there. People unfortunately underestimate the chashivos of the beginning of a preparation to a mitzvah. It's a very important thing. A person comes on holiday sometimes. First thing you have to work out, what time am I going to learn? Make sure to get rid of all the unhealthy things. That means a person, the preparation for a mitzvah is much, much, much greater than the actual thing. Unfortunately, many times you see people now, netz is much later. So some people go to a later shachris. So you think to yourself, if netz is later, shachris is later, so people will be able to get to shachris 5 minutes earlier. But it's still the people that come 10 minutes later than normal day, come 10 minutes. It's a frightening thing, we have to be aware. There's a famous Shmuel von Hirsch and others say this, that the kiyoy was not, that if a person didn't wash his hands in the kiyoy, it was chayv miso. Tzedek says it in a number of places. If a person didn't shecht correctly, or he didn't sprinkle the blood, or he didn't burn the korban, or he burned the korban in the wrong place, what happens? According to the Rambam, there's not even malchus. Nothing. What's going on over here? You do the avodah wrong. You get it all wrong. You did completely wrong. Nothing. But you didn't prepare yourself, then chayv miso. It's a very important message. It's Yehuda Shalach Von of Goyishlo. In every avodah of every period in time, a person has to know that if you're not preparing yourself in advance, you will not be able to succeed. And that is why Asor B'Tevis, which is the beginning of the Tzor, it's the beginning, it's the Achona of the Tzor, that is why we give it an extra chumrah over all other Ta'anisim. Okay, maybe we'll get back to some of this if we have time. I just want to say, this is a vod which I get tremendous pleasure from. It's like this, that Yosef says to his fathers, and Rashi says, it's something from the good of Mitzrayim, Mitzuv Mitzrayim. So Rashi says, he sent him Yain Yoshan Shetaz Kinim Noichayim, and old wine which old people enjoy, and where the Shagot Agis and Shapul split beans. Very briefly like this. Why do old people like old wine? Because wine, contrary to most things, the older it is, the better it is. Most things, they get worse. So old people, they feel that the less important they get older, they see that, no, it's not always true that. You see certain things increase in value. Split beans, the Maral says, that most things, you break them, you ruin them, right? You ruin them. If you start breaking a chair, you've got no good chair. There are certain foods that in the country, you have to grind them, break them in order that they should be usable. Split beans, barley, you have to grind them. And when you grind them, then you can use them as a cooked food. Otherwise, you can't, lentils, if they're not split, you can't eat them. Yosef was saying to Yaakov, I'm asking you to come to Mitzrayim. Come to Mitzrayim. In Mitzrayim, the Kaisel are going to have shipboard, they're going to be broken through hard work, and they're going to be suffer from old age, meaning from long time of suffering. But don't think it's all bad. There's always good things. Chashiyanu oisei kin yirba v'chein yifutz. Klal Yisrael have it within them. That the more that they are broken, the better and more that they shtag. Like beans, that you have to break them and grind them. And that's why he sent them these, either of these two foods. Either yayin noshen shtaz, kinim nechem menu, gets better with old age, gets better with time, or split beans that you have to break in order that they should improve. That's how Piderech Pshat Maral says this. But Piderech Remez is very, very interesting. Yayin Yoshon is gematria 430. Yayin is 70, Yoshon is 360. 430 years. Shadaz kenim noichei menu. How long did HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell Avraham Avinu Klal Yisrael be in Mitzrayim for? V'avod Avinu Klal Yisrael will be 430 years. 400, that's the Pasuk says in the end of Parshas book. There'll be 430 years in Mitzrayim. Yayin Yoshon is 430, Shadaz kenim noichei menu. But he said, Bedeshah Goda is Grisin Shel Pul. What's the gematria of Pul? Pul is 116. Pei, Vav, Lamed, 116. How many years did they suffer in Mitzrayim? Only 116. How do we know? Because Rashi says at the beginning of Shemois, that while one of the Shvatim was alive, nobody suffered. Who died the oldest? Levi. He died at the age of 137. It's the Pasuk in Parshas Vayevo, 137. How old was Levi when he came down to Mitzrayim? So we know that Yosef was 39, because he was 30 in front of power, 7 years of plenty, 2 years of family, he was 39. Levi was 4 years older than Yosef, you can work it out from the years, they were all born within a 7 year period. So Levi was 43. So he was 43 when he came down to his time, he lived there till he was 137. So 137 minus 43 is 94 years. 94 years Levi was in Mitzrayim. There were 210 years in Mitzrayim altogether, the two. That's how many years there were. Minus 94 from 210, they suffered for 116. It's a very interesting gematria. So he sent him Yayin Yoshon 430 years, Shadaz Kenim, which the elders, mean my grandfather Avraham, agreed to. But you should also know that's the 430 years, the Shadaz Kenim Noichemenu. But the reality is it's only going to be Gris and Shalpul, it's only going to be 116 years of suffering. Okay. Very briefly, I want to say like this. There's a Pele Yoitz. It's very, very tremendous chizuk, this Pele Yoitz. Pele Yoitz says, that this week's parasha mentions, Sech Bas Osha. Right? Sech Bas Osha came down to Mitzrayim. Everybody, you know, there's certain things you get every year when the children come home from kindergarten, and you've got a little violin or something, and Sech Bas Osha sings, O Yosef Chai Melech Mitzrayim. What happened? What did she get rewarded? She lived for hundreds and hundreds of years. She lived all the way down to the Shisur, Dovda Melech, etc. So she got this reward. Says the Pele Yoitz, why did she get this tremendous reward? What did she do good? The answer is that she made Yaakov Avinu feel better by telling him good news. That's what she did. That was the essence of what she did. Says the Pele Yoitz, when the person writes a letter, there was no phones in his days. The person writes a letter to his parents saying, Baruch Hashem, I am well. Or telling them news of his well-being. He's doing exactly the same thing as Sech Bas Osha and greater. Because Sech Bas Osha was doing it to a grandfather. Kibud Avim is more important than Kibud of a grandfather. So if a person writes a letter of good news to the parents, he's doing something great in Sech Bas Osha, and the reward, he says, will be ultimately much, 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 much greater. Nowadays we have phones, but it's an interesting thing that a person can sometimes be mazalzel in these little things. How important is it to keep a note, to keep track? Sometimes a person with a nice phone call, a nice letter, can mamish make a person feel better. Sometimes we all know the medrash of Sech Bas Osha. It's a famous medrash. But sometimes you have to be told what is the lesson of the Sech Bas Osha. It's a very interesting point from the Pele Yoitz. We're very used to the concept of bitochen in the sense of bitochen that when you hear story after story, there's hardly a book coming out nowadays without being told of stories of how a person did the right thing and then tremendous success came his way. That is something which we've almost ingrained in ourselves. And it's tragic in the sense that that is not really what bitochen is about. Bitochen is not about that if I do the right thing and I trust in Hashem, I will get what I want. Chazanish writes in Munna Bitochen, beginning of the second perek, it's a huge mistake that people make, and they think to themselves that Bitochen is that if I'm not sure whether I'll get the job or not, whether I'll get better or not, whether the shidduch will work or not, that I have to believe that the shidduch will sort it out for me. That's not bitachon. Bitachon is the knowledge that whatever happens, the shidduch wants it to happen, and nothing happens by chance, and that the shidduch controls everything. That is the ikar of bitachon. And this is something that we mamish learn a very lot from Yosef. It's a tremendous chizuk if a person has the time to be misboinim. That when Yosef speaks to his brothers, what he does is he speaks to them and he says, I have no complaints about you. I just want to say a short Urachaim HaKadosh. That Yosef says like this, I am Yosef, your brother, you sold me to Mitzrayim. Says the Urachaim HaKadosh, what did he try and teach him? What was he saying? And Yosef achichem asher mechartem yisibim Mitzrayim. That while you were selling me to Mitzrayim, I still did not diminish my feeling of brotherhood towards you. Because at the time that I knew that whatever happens, it's not you, it's Hakadosh Baruch Hu that wants it to happen. While you were selling me down to Mitzrayim, I was still felt your brother. It's an unbelievable chizuk. The Sfas Emes adds, the Torah says, Asher Shibarto, we said it in the beginning, the Shnei Luchot Abis, Asher Shibarto, that you broke, it's a Chazal Dash, and what Asher Shibarto? Yashu Kuchcho Asher Shibarto, thank you for breaking. Says the Svasemas, Asher Machartam Reis Mitzrayim, that when you sold me down to Mitzrayim, I felt grateful that Asher Yashu Kuchcho, I did not have any complaints, because I knew that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the one who was making it happen. I just saw recently a story, that there was a couple who had a newborn baby in Eretz Yisrael. They wanted to come to England. It was a couple of weeks ago, about 2 weeks ago, not before this newer lockdown, different stages of lockdowns. And what happened was, we went to the passport office, need to get a passport for the child. And there was, because of Corona, it took a very long time queue, and finally got to their turn, there was a computer hitch, and what happened was, they couldn't get the passport, and everybody knew that if they didn't get the passport, they would miss the flight, which meant they wouldn't be able to share the simcha in England of the what happened was everybody around told them you should start shouting and screaming and making a turmoil. And they said, no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants that we should not miss it. This is obviously the best. This is obviously the right thing. And what happened was the flight took off without them and the flight never crashed. And they missed the simcha. So where's the Gamzul HaTeva? The Teva is that they were able to recognize that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants is the right. Unfortunately, we're very caught up into the mussug that to believe in bitachon is to believe that whatever's going to be is going to work out the way we want to. It's not about what we want. It's about what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. Learn that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants is more important. So, there's a famous story, the Chana v'Sheva Bonel. We all know the story, the Chanukah story, that her 7 sons were killed. There's a Medrash in Eicha which elaborates on the story. And the Medrash in Eicha tells us that the king said to the 7th son, he begged him to pretend, the Medrash says, that he said, you're embarrassing me in front of all my ministers, that I can't get you to listen to me. So he said, you're a fool, you care about your ministers who are here today, tomorrow they'll die. I care about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's far more, it's better to be a fool your whole life than to be a fool in the eyes of Hashem for a moment. So he said to him, if you believe so much in Hashem, so let Hashem save you. So what did he reply? But no. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has his cheshbonos. And maybe you don't deserve to be, that you should see a miracle because you're not like Nebuchadnezzar that when he saw miracles, he praised Hashem. You won't praise Hashem either. The Chazanish quotes this midrashim. And the idea is, many times a person has to understand that we have to accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will. It's not so much about what we want. This is a very big chiluk of bitachon which we learn from Yosef. I just want to say one final word, about Asar B'Tevas. We said in Slichas this morning that Rukova Nugo Bashushanim Sugo, that we describe in the Slichas how Klal Yisrael are surrounded by thorns, and in Asar B'Tevas we became surrounded, besieged by armies. Surrounded by roses. Surrounded, fenced in by roses. That's what Chazal say, the Maila of Klal Yisrael, that we're fenced in by roses. What's special about the fence of roses? When you talk about the flimsy, if you want to have a harsh fence, you talk about a wall. A wall is a good fence. A weak fence, talk about either wood or talk about straw. Why roses? The answer is that roses are a very, very powerful fence if your machshiv roses. If I've got a wall of roses around me and I think the world of roses, I wouldn't dream of trampling over them. In fact, it would be easier for me to climb over a wall rather than trample the roses because I machshiv the roses so much. The fence that Klal Yisrael have, Chazal says, referring to the fence of doing aveiros, is a fence which is a fence of roses. It's not a fence made out of concrete wall. Indeed, Akash Baruch Hu doesn't have an army around to stop us doing avirs. But it's not a flimsy fence either. It's a fence made out of roses. Meaning like this, depending on how much a person's mashiv the beauty of the mitzvah, is how powerful he will see the fence to be. And this is Bemes Pshat in that Ba'amal Chazal. The Chazal say that the Gadlus of Klal Yisrael, that the Gemara says that how can a person be Mekayim with mitzvahs of Ishus, maybe who guards them? Who's the one who looks after them? So Chazal say, Sugabash Rishanim, we're fenced in by roses. What does it mean we're fenced in by roses? Pshat is like this, Klal Yisrael have within them the ability to appreciate the chashivos of the mitzvah. And when you have a chashivos for the mitzvah, then nothing itself, nothing can break such a barrier. It's even more powerful. A person could climb over a wall somehow. But if he's got a fence of something very, very precious, which he would be terrified to harm, that was the most powerful fence. But what happened was, unfortunately, as we said in our tefillahs, that what happened was, as we started doing our veiras, then we lost the chashivos. So then we had to have a different fence. Unfortunately, the fence of the goyim, which was a sort of betavis, a tremendous siege. That means a person has to appreciate that Shmuel has guards. If a person does a service Hashem, the guards that he has are precious guards, makes him feel good about himself, like the wall of roses. But unfortunately, if a person is not careful, he'll end up with besieging of the goyim. Okay, we spoke a little bit about the vaults, different ideas on the parasha. There's many different remarks in the different divitur, aboy mitzvahim, or coming present tense, vidolai, the balaturim, that golus is like gehenem. We had that Be'er's Goshen, the Ramban. We had the idea that we have to understand that as Vada, we have to treat the goyim with respect. We have to understand that this is nothing to do with us. We have to have a complete distance from the goyim. And the whole Musag of Asor B'Teva is that the Nekuda why it's so chomo is because this was the beginning of the downfall. And we have to chap around that when we get to the beginning of something, that we should be there ready to build, and thereby we should be Zoche with Hashem, that like we say to Davening, that this Tanis should turn the sausage into simcha, it should turn into joy and into salvation, simoviv, and simasir, behov, yamin, amen. Amen. Amen.